from NPR, National Public Radio.
From Boston, says you. A game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy. Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. From the top of the hub, high above Boston, on the skywalk of the Prudential Center, welcome to Says You, our simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's got homes in London, Paris, Madrid, and Rome. They're not his homes, but he still feels comfortable. Mr. Barry Nolan. She's looking to diversify her portfolio. Perhaps some multicolored graphs might be nice. Francine Akbar, and he's a blue-chip talent, a high-yield guy. Whatever you do, don't sell him short. Mr. Tony Khan. Led into battle by...
Barry.
Location, location, location.
Mr. Nolan. To my left, team two, boss, benefactor, friend, and today victim, Mr. Murray Horowitz. Producer, performer, raconteur, Arnie Risman. And columnist, critic, the best first seat in the business, Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. Captain by...
The racketeer.
Vocation.
Our game is played in five rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of what's the difference. Carolyn, what's the difference between an ectomy and an otomy? E-C-T-O-M-Y and O-T-O-M-Y.
The ectomy is the procedure. The otomy is the result of the procedure.
No.
The ectomy takes the whole thing, and the otomy takes a piece.
Piece of it.
No, because an appendectomy takes the whole appendix out.
That's right.
So an otomy...
A lobotomy takes part of the brain.
Part of the brain.
You know, you're almost there. It's not quite
part
correct.
An appendectomy is something you don't want under any circumstances.
Right. An appendectomy removes the back of your book.
And a lobectomy...
I'm going to give them 8 points for that and ask, is there a doctor in the house?
Is there a quack in the house?
That's not quite it. According to our trusted family physician, Thumbs Maloney... Oh, you know Thumbs. Yes. To perform an otomy means simply to cut. It's directly from the Greek root. Otomy means simply to cut, as in a lobotomy, when you go in and simply cut something, whereas an ectomy means to cut out.
Oh, removal.
And the other's removal.
Yeah, you get an ectomy, like an appendectomy. Something's leaving. Tony, what's the difference between ephemeral and ephemeris? E-P-H-E-M-E-R-A-L. Ephemeral and ephemeris.
Well, I know what ephemeral is. I mean, ephemeral is brief, lasting for just a moment, very quick and leaving.
Yes.
And ephemera would be those things which last only a short time. And an ephemeris...
How's it spelled? What's the ending?
Is E-P-H-E-M-E-R-I-S.
Does it regard literature?
Yes, in a sense.
I know, I remember ephemeris what it is. Ephemeris is something...
Brief things written for an occasion?
Are the ephemeris the things that were wrong that are corrected at the back of the book that were wrong in the book and too late to change?
Wonderful bluff. Totally wrong. But give him 7 points just because I love the answer. And he did get ephemeral. We'll go to the other side.
The ephemeris is a thing that astrologers consult to find out what your rising sign is and what your...
It is, in fact, an astrological almanac. Right. Which charts planetary positions, sidereal times, and other things useful astrologically speaking. And ephemeral does mean...
So if you want an ephemeral relationship, you say, hey, what's your sign?
Yeah. Both from the same root, and ephemeral, of course, means fleeting, insubstantial, of little permanent interest. Arnie, what's the difference between uranium-235 and uranium-238?
Bang and kaboom!
10 points, that's exactly right. Very good.
That's right.
Bang and boom, yes. Would you care to go any deeper just for...
Well, why bother?
Yes, that's right. You got the 10 points.
Less fissionable.
There's less fission.
Well,
they're both isotopes of uranium, and uranium comes naturally in a number of different isotopes. But when found in nature, 235 and 238 are both there in uranium. But 235 is easier to split and thus create fission. So the big thing with making the atomic bomb was a way to separate out the 238 from the 235, which occurs in much smaller amounts in raw uranium, but it's the splittable kind.
And much more usable, therefore, as nuclear fuel. And please write in and tell me why
I'm
wrong.
Could I also add a footnote to this? That yes? One of the byproducts of the work that was done to separate the two by creating very, very fine mesh filters were cyclamates that ended up being the main sweeteners in soft drinks. Turns out those are one of the chemicals that helped make the mesh. Somebody accidentally dipped his finger, you know.
Excuse me, somebody's working with radioactive isotopes and they get their finger dusty and they lick it? What?
Taste that mesh.
Do we get some points here?
I'm going to give them 10 points because they took it on. Very good. Francine, what's the difference between perfume and cologne?
Alcohol.
Almost.
Cologne's in Germany.
Perfume is concentrated.
Perfume is concentrated.
And
that's
cologne
true.
Is
natural
diluted.
Essence.
And
cologne's a town in Germany.
It's about concentration versus dilution.
It's a lot cheaper to drink cologne than it is.
I was going to say price.
Let me tell you.
Differentiator usually too.
Give them 9 points for that. The difference is perfume is the essences of flowers or synthetics used for scenting. Add alcohol and water, and you've got cologne. Murray, what's the difference between heading and bearing, nautically speaking?
Nautically speaking.
Yeah, I think your heading is the direction in which you travel. Your bearing is where you are, isn't it? It's where you find yourself.
Well, you're a long way there.
No.
He knows. Wait, what he said.
No, but bearing is your path.
Getting your bearings is the key to this.
Getting your bearings.
I got two guesses. One is given in directions like west, northwest, and the other is given in numbers? Or is it magnetic and true north?
You're all sort of dancing around this, and I'm going to give you guys 7 points for your answer because you did fine with heading. Any help from the audience?
Heading is where you're actually going with the vector force of the currents.
That is much more to the point. It's a question of perspective. Heading is your position and current direction relative to the globe, the 4 points on the compass. Which way are you heading?
Yeah.
Bearing is the position of something else with regard to you.
And sir, what do you mean?
Something else in
like
the
a star
has a bearing. In sailing, one cannot usually sail directly someplace, but you have to tack back and forth depending on the wind, so you establish bearings. First, I'm going to tack toward that. I'm going to tack toward that so that you can work out a rough
heading.
I got some help on this from Andy and Elise Ray Ellers from Seattle, Washington. Last night, I'm sitting here writing this question. It's 10 o'clock. I get an email from them. They have a lot of nautical questions. So I said, we're doing a question on bearing and heading. We don't know the answer. You have until 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow to give me the proper answer. At 9 o'clock this morning, they had the correct answer on my desk.
So they were sleepless. Never mind, I'm sorry.
So thank you to Andy and Elise Ray Ellers of Seattle, Washington, for the answer to that question. And finally, Barry, what's the difference between, and I'm going to be tough on this, sarcastic and sardonic?
Sarcastic is, both of them are forms of humor, but sarcastic is, no?
It's the difference between Mad Magazine, you know, which is pure sarcasm, which is sort of making fun of superficial behavior and institutions, and sardonic, which is sort of like, you know, a deeper attitude toward the meaninglessness of all human behavior.
In a certain sense, and you will get a lot of points for that. Any help from the other side on this?
Murray's
Sarcasm is a way of stating something completely insincerely, something that you do not mean.
Yes. Right.
Sardonic is outside the head is laughing, but inside the heart is crying. It has to do with the kind of world weary or somewhat jaded view of things.
You would have done very well on that, Barry. You get 7 points as a result. But I think the real difference, sardonic simply means cynical, scornful, disdainful. Sarcastic also has a contemptuous overtone, but it requires the use of deliberate irony. That is the difference. You must be insincere in what you're saying to make a point, and that's
sarcasm.
The difference. Let's go on to round two. The first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds, played with a little musical help from our friends, the Dactyls, the Mighty Dactyls. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. Those poor souls will have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points here up for grabs to Barry, if he can sniff out the truth, or to you, Arne, if you can fool him. A few seconds musically enhanced to come up with a definition for the word griposis. G-R-Y-P-O-S-I-S. Griposis. Gentlemen? Our challenge to listeners last week was to come up with a secondary definition for the word mullion, M-U-L-L-I-O-N. Martin Savona of Boston simply suggested a narrow bridge for ducks connecting two man-made ponds. I like that. Fanny Toner of Reno, Nevada offered the estimated size of a moving crowd of people, a mullion. Maybe, but top marks go this week to Jonathan Barth of Brooklyn, who says, "What's the matter with you people? Mullion is mutton-flavored bullion." Congratulations, Jonathan. The pup's in the mail. The Mighty Dactyls. Mr. Frank Farrell, Mr. John McGann, Mr. Rashad Eggleston, and Mr. Peter Barnes. Thank you, folks, for giving us a little time with the word griposis. We'll go first. I don't like the look on your face.
You never do, Richard. No. Well, griposis isn't pretty.
It isn't.
No, it's something. You might have seen this, a photo of this in the Guinness Book of World Records, the man with the world's longest fingernails, how they kind of curve like talons. Griposis is an abnormal curvature of the fingernail, and, of course, it can affect your grip.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
That's my story. I'm sticking to
stick
it.
Stick to it.
Show me. An abnormally curved fingernail?
You can file
like
that.
Nosferatu.
Arnie, griposis.
Griposis. It was originally referred to in Greek mythology as the fusion of animals into a monster.
No. Well, actually, yes, because later it really became a medical term related to a rare disease brought on by the fusion of two germs.
The what of two germs?
The fusion of
two germs.
All right.
All right. Disease A, disease B, you have a fusion of two germs.
It is rare
Murray,
disease.
Put some sense to this.
Well, everybody's got to have an opening joke, and mine is that a kid who has a really wicked, aggressive older sister finds himself constantly in the griposis. Never mind. Okay, so griposis.
Griposis.
Griposis, though, is, as we all three agree, a medical condition. It is a psychiatric condition marked by constant, uncontrollable rage.
What?
Followed by deafness.
Uncontrollable.
Get a grip.
We have either constant rage, a fusion of two germs, or an abnormally curved fingernail.
I don't think it's a fusion of two germs because that's not necessarily a condition, a disease condition. And I think osis implies, doesn't osis imply?
I think it's the fingernail.
An illness? Yeah.
So, and I don't believe the psychiatric Murray.
Nah.
So I guess I'd have to go with
Hughes.
Also, doesn't osis mean an enhanced thing like, you know, osteoporosis and more of pores, halitosis, more osis, that kind of
sounds
thing.
Sounds like it should.
So I think abnormal fingernails, yeah.
All right, we'll go with that.
Carolyn, they think it's abnormally curved fingernails.
Yes, I think Murray didn't realize that Barry's past includes a stint as a psychiatric social worker.
He would have known about
that. The rare disease brought on, but no.
No, it is indeed abnormal curvature of the fingernail.
Very good. Abnormal curvature in the fingernails. 10 points.
Nice work, guys.
Well done. Let's go on to round three. Food for thought. What culinary delicacies are brought to mind by the following convoluted clues, puns, and obscure references? An example, Little Neck Lottery locale might be...
Clams Casino.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Carolyn, the hot chocolate truck.
The hot chocolate truck?
Coco van.
Yes, in fact, the hot chocolate truck is indeed the Coco
very
van.
Good. Yes, very good. Very good.
I haven't spelled Coco.
I just passed the brainstone.
Tony.
Yes.
Small knife, bandages, yarmulke, etc.
Oh.
Small knife.
Bandages. Yarmulke, etc.
Oh, yeah.
A brisket of beef.
Brisket is right. Yes, brisket. B-R-I-S-S.
I'm
so sorry. A small knife, bandages, yarmulke is a brisket.
Right.
Ernie.
Yeah.
Mr. Walker's auntie, perhaps.
Mr.
W-A-L-K-E-R apostrophe S A-N-T-E. Mr. Walker's auntie, perhaps.
Mr. Walker's auntie. Gamble, potluck.
Something chips.
Fish and chips?
No, not chips.
No?
Not chips. An auntie would be a bid.
Mr. Bet. Walker, Mort Walker?
Walker. Mr. Walker.
Mr. Walker. Who is Mr. Walker?
Clint Walker. Clint Mort Walker.
Mort Walker. Clint Walker.
I'm thinking in a more musical vein here.
Four Walker. Johnny. Who's a Walker?
Walker.
I'm a Walker.
Junior Walker.
Junior Walker.
Junior Walker and the All-Stars?
Junior Mints.
Junior Mints. Junior Mints. Walker's auntie.
Walker.
No. Raise something.
T-bone bet.
T-bone Walker.
T-bone.
T-bone. Right. Good.
That's steak.
T-bone
steak.
Steak.
Yes. Yeah. 10 points. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. T-bone Walker and an ante is a steak in a poker game. Oh. Mr. Walker's ante is a T-bone steak. Very good.
Good. Good. Good.
Francine, command to a cowardly Minuteman, perhaps.
Command.
Command to a cowardly Minuteman. I'm totally ashamed of this.
Something with yellow.
Okay. Cowardly.
Something about retreat? No. Attack?
Or command. Order?
Order.
Command to a cowardly Minuteman, perhaps.
Attention.
This is just horrible. And I think we've got a blank slate over there.
Salute.
Any help from the other side?
It's chicken something.
Throw rice.
It is chicken something.
Yeah.
Chicken
minute.
What's another minute?
Chicken pot chicken. Pie.
Chicken
command to a cowardly
chicken.
Minuteman. Any help from the audience? That's exactly right. Chicken
catch
a Tory.
Chicken
catch
a Tory. I was thinking of it, but I didn't get it.
Chicken catch.
You know, it's bad to stifle a boo. You should let it out, really.
We knew it. It was just cat got your tongue. Is
yeah.
Chicken, cat, catch.
Command to a cowardly Minuteman might be chicken catch a Tory. Murray, home of an Eli Lyric.
Home of an Eli Lyric. So this is Yale. So that's
right.
Baba Black Sheep.
Home of an
Eli Lyric would be
an Eli.
Bob, poor little lamb. Whiffen poof.
Lamb.
No, poor little lamb. Bob, whiffen poof.
Bula.
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 Bula
base.
Bula base.
Bula base. Yes.
Bula, bula.
The home of an Eli lyric would be a bula base. Yes.
Bula,
bula.
Gulag. Go fish.
And if you think it was bad up to that point, where do you get this one?
Bula,
bula. Barry, yeah, Bismarck's our choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bismarck's our choice.
This is just despicable.
Bismarck's our choice. Baron von
something about pick?
Yes. Kaiser?
Yes.
Chicken
piccata?
Kaiser roll.
You're almost there.
Something piccata. It's something piccata.
Something piccata?
Yes.
Veal.
Yeah, Bismarck's our choice.
Veal?
Yeah.
Veal
piccata.
Veal piccata, yes. Veal pick Otto. Bismarck's our choice. Veal pick Otto. O-T-T-O.
As I heard of angry chefs on the hoof.
Yeah. That'll be our last visit with food for thought for a while.
I guess so.
Let's go. Yeah.
The biggest round hand of the day.
Yeah. A round of applause to get rid of that category. Round four is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word emptins. E-M-P-T-I-N-S. Emptins. Gentlemen.
If you want to eat up hours of free time that otherwise could be spent ironing or changing the washers in the basement sink, why not check out our website at www.sayou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word. You can ask us questions, contribute questions, order books, CDs, tickets, everything in good fun at www.sayou.org.
Fractals. We've had a few moments with the word emptins. We'll go first to a very tired Tony Cutler.
Well, how about it's a leekless potato soup. That's right. Potatoes are the basis of this. It's a food preparation made of potato fluid. Made of potato fluid that can be stored almost forever. So it has like the half-life of halva.
Potato fluid.
A food preparation made of potato fluid that can be stored almost forever.
Yeah. Long-lasting potato fluid. Okay. Oh, Francine.
Emptins are fancy British picnic sets, and they're these little tin cups for beverages on your picnic. Emptins.
What kind of beverages?
Whatever you take on your picnic.
Tin cups. Tin picnic cups. What kind of beverages? Barry, Emptins.
Emptins are regurgitated bits of bone. As in, well, I guess me and the Baldwin brothers won't be taking a house in the Emptons.
Regurgitated bones.
We have regurgitated bones at the end of Long Island, probably. Tin picnic cups or a long-lasting potato fluid. What
Each
do you
more
think?
More likely than the last.
I'm leaning toward entrail mix over there in the corner.
We're going.
It just, you know, it sounds like something vaguely agricultural, you know, from my home state of Ohio. Or some, oh, some Emptins I found on the,
Find any potato fluid?
Potato fluid sounds potato just, you know.
Should we go with the bones as a joint effort?
Oh, my God. Wait before she quotes Ralph Waldo Emerson.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
What? I'm sorry, but I need closure. I just need closure here.
I'm going to go with Barry and the regurgitated bone. Yeah.
Barry, finally, they say it's regurgitated bone at the end of Long Island or something. Is
strangely,
that the truth?
It's not.
No. Oh, wow.
That was right a here. Bluff.
It's potato fluid? Yeah. It's little tin cups for a Queen Elizabeth?
After I don't know how many shows, I was finally given the correct definition.
Oh, you were.
Emptins, may I quote, a liquid leavening made from potatoes and, this is underscored, having a very long shelf life.
Potato fluid.
Let's go on to round five. Here's a little test titled For Better or Worse. Please tell me the movie in which the following characters got together. The catch? I'm going to describe each character in terms of other roles that the actors and actresses play. An example... Rhett meets a woman spreading a 7-year itch.
Arthur Miller movie.
The Misfits is correct. Yeah. Because Rhett would be Rhett Butler, would be, what is that guy?
Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe.
Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe from the 7-year itch got together in The Misfits.
Okay. Help me, team.
Carolyn, McMurphy shadows Peggy Sue.
Help me, team.
Right, Peggy Sue is...
Jack Nicholson and Kathleen Turner.
What? You've got the stars.
She was halfway there.
Jack Nicholson.
Ooh, I think they forget this movie, which was
must have been a forgettable movie.
Well, not really.
Not really?
Give them 7 points because they got the two stars. Does anyone remember the movie?
Pritzi's Honor. She was in
Pritzi's Honor.
I only remember Angelica Houston. Yeah.
Where they got together.
Holy Moses.
Right. Tony.
Yes.
Violet Venables' niece. Degrades.
I'm sorry.
I know who it is. Let him keep going.
Violet Venables' niece degrades the guy with the robe.
With Victor Mature?
Suddenly Last Victor Mature.
Suddenly Last Summer.
Violet Venables.
Catherine Hepburn?
Yes.
So Catherine Hepburn meets the robe.
Let me stop you there. Violet Venables' niece.
Niece.
Oh, that was
degrades the guy with the robe.
Elizabeth Taylor. So could it have been...
the guy with the robe.
Oh, Cleopatra.
Yeah, Cleopatra, I will give you some credit for, yes, because they both did star in that movie. Who are the stars involved?
You know, what's
Liz
his name?
Taylor and
the guy, Richard Burton.
And Richard Burton. Those are the two stars.
Okay,
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That's the one. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Not 10 points. Give them 9 points for that, because we did do a little bit of coaxing. Arnie, Sister Sarah gets pulverized.
The apartment.
The apartment is exactly right. Very good. Why? Yeah. Because?
Two Mules for Sister Sarah. Is that what you're going for? Shirley MacLaine and Pulver, Ensign Pulver is Jack Lemmon and Mr. Roberts.
That's exactly right. Shirley MacLaine and Jack Lemmon and The Apartment. And you also would have gotten credit for Irma LaDuce, but The Apartment was where we wanted to go. Try this one, Francine. Morning Glory comes up to see him.
Morning Glory. To see
this is a classic.
Him. Give me a help me with the Morning Glory part.
Morning Glory. I can't help you with either part or the place we're going to.
Okay, comes up to see him. Mae West?
No, not Mae West. Actually, comes up to see him.
Come up to who was right. It come up to see me?
You mean Cary Grant.
Mae West.
Cary Grant.
Morning Glory
comes up
to see
that's
him.
The one. Oh, gee.
Gunga
Din. It happened one night.
No. We'll go to the other side.
We think it's Holiday with Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant.
Oh, not Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, Katharine Hepburn?
Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant, either in Holiday
the Philadelphia
or the
story.
Philadelphia Story. Yes, either movie would have done it.
I was going to Philadelphia with the wrong person.
Yes, you were.
story of my life. Yeah. Oh, well.
Murray, try this. All Hetty... Clyde finds his darling.
All Hetty?
Yes, H-E-A-D-Y. All Hetty, Clyde finds his darling.
Well, it's Bonnie.
The darling is Julie Christie.
Is he going back to darling and Julie Christie?
Warren Beatty.
Shampoo.
Shampoo is exactly right. 10 points. Very good. Because you have Warren Beatty, Clyde, in Bonnie and Clyde, and darling was, of course, Julie Christie, and the two of them got all Hetty in Shampoo. And finally, Barry... She goes lightly with Blofeld's Bane.
What?
She goes lightly, so that's Audrey Hepburn.
Right. Holly go lightly.
With Blofeld's Bane.
Oh, that's Blofeld's Bane, Bond. Blofeld's Bane, Audrey Hepburn, and Sean Connery.
You've got it.
Two for the Road.
Oh, no, that was...
I know.
They were... Oh, the Countess? Was that
well, you're in
some
the right,
spy
you're...
thing?
No, not that.
No,
it's
no.
Countess.
Very classic story.
Really?
The something, the blonde... The...
You've got 7 points already. Any help from the other side?
Audrey Hepburn and Sean Connery, huh?
Yeah, anyone know in the audience?
Robin Hood.
Robin and Marion. Oh, very good.
Great movie.
But still, a wonderful effort. 81 points, Barry, but not enough today. 92 points for Mr. Reisman's team. Congratulations, Arnie. That is all we have time for tonight. Thanks to our hosts here at the top of the hub. My colleague with Quill and Query is, of course, Mr. Philip Salkind. Fernando Ruiz and Robin Moore man the meters. Once every few weeks, we get to remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. See you all next week.
Says You is the co-creation of WGBH Radio and Pippin and Finch, Boston. Funding for Says You is provided by this and other NPR member stations and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, making grants to improve the health and health care of all Americans on the web at rwjf.org. The Pew Charitable Trusts, investing in ideas, returning results. www.pewtrusts.com. The Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in individuals, their families, and their communities. On the web at www.wkkf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.